And there was light. Genesis chapter 1, verses 3b. These are the words that were written concerning the creation account. How the Lord brought light, how the Lord gave light in the midst of darkness during the beginning of his creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." In other words, this earth was not like it was or it is now, but it was very different. We were told that it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, this earth was in a form that is totally uninhabitable. Darkness filled this earth before the earth finds its present form. And our text tells us that God at that time commanded. What did God command at the beginning? He says, "Let there be light." Now, why is it that God gave this command that there be light? Why is light so significant? Now, we're going to spend one message on it, and I believe it's not thorough enough. I believe there are more depth to this that we need to explore. And therefore, today we would continue to meditate upon this light that God has created for us. And we would like us to understand and appreciate between physical light and spiritual light. Physical light and spiritual light. Now, you would notice the contrast. Here, from darkness, God gave light. And you turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You would see a very much parallel account concerning the beginning. And here, it was described that light that was given as life to mankind. And here in John chapter 1 and verse 1 says that in the beginning, well, which is also what Genesis 1 verse 1, how Genesis 1 verse 1 begin. In the beginning. In other words, when time began. There was a time when time didn't begin. Okay? But here, in the beginning tells us, in the time when God created, in the beginning, all things, verse 3 says, were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that God made, God created. And in Genesis and John chapter 1 tells us that this was made by him. And the reference was given to refer back to the Word that was there in the beginning of no beginnings. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God created through the Word. And so when Genesis 1 verse 3 says, "And God said," this is the spoken word. And this was the power that came through the word that created the heavens and the earth. And here in John chapter 1 verse 3 is given to us that in that all things were made by him. Who is the him? Well, we were told that it is the word that was in the beginning. But in John chapter 1 verse 14, that word became flesh, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, he was born, the son of a woman, in the land of Israel, and he walked in that land in the fullness of time. This was that word that created. In other words, God came in human flesh. And here, as you look at who or this word, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is described for us in John chapter 1 verse 4 that in him was life. In other words, he's the source of life. In Jesus Christ is life. In him was life. He's the word. And by the spoken word, the world was created. In other words, the word of God is powerful, right? Things came into being out of nothing. God spoke, and they were what they were because of the creative power of God's word. And it's interesting that in John chapter 1 verse 4, it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of life, who is the creator of all things, he was described as that light. And that he was the one that imparted life. The life was the light of men. In other words, it was through him that spiritual life came to us. In him was light. And so there are two thoughts that we would like to bring to our attention here. How light is life. Light is life. And this first thought is interesting because darkness is the absence of light. Right? In the beginning, when everything was void and without form, God gave light. And we all know that light is that which sustains life. Right? The sun that was given to us is not 1 kilometer nearer to us or 1 kilometer further away from us, but it was right at the safe distance where we could enjoy the rays of the sun that energizes the creation. And this light that came is not too far away so that, you know, the earth would freeze and life would be lost. But you notice that light is life-giving. Before God created the earth with plants, light must be there first. Right? You look at the plant, we all know the process of photosynthesis. Right? The plants need the sunlight in order that it may generate food for itself. So light is a source of life in the created world. And so God, by giving us light, showing us the phenomena of physical light, he's teaching us to understand what is spiritual light. In other words, God himself. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. He is the one who imparted life to us. So, you know, when a baby is conceived in the womb of the mother, when there was physical life in the conception in the womb, it was not just the physical fetus that was there in the womb. But God gave in that new creation of life a soul. In other words, God breathed life to that soul, not just the physical life. And so when God created this physical world, He wanted us to understand the spiritual aspect by the physical phenomena that He brings forth for us to see. And so here, the Lord says to us that as we consider light, how light is life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, we are going to develop this. Light is not just life, but light is illumination. In other words, when light shines through, you would see life generating itself. And so here we are speaking about spiritual life. When God gave life. And how do I illustrate this? Well, by my own testimony. Coming to know God, reading many books on philosophy, to know about ourselves and this world that we lived in. How there were so many minds of men, and came to this man called Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell was the foremost philosopher of the 20th century. How going to the library, well, you get to read him and in other bookstores, all the self-help books. But after reading all of this, somehow the mind doesn't click, in the sense that this knowledge just doesn't gel together. Until one day in the university, was met with a man who came and sat me down in the perplexity of my mind and read these words in John chapter 1 and verse 1. Says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I suddenly understood. Light is illumination. The darkness that was in my heart, I could not understand. I call myself an agnostic. You give me a reason to believe, I would believe. You show me evidence, I would believe. But after that, do I need evidence to believe? Well, light came into my heart, and I could understand by faith the word of God that was revealed to Moses in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 in 1500 BC, right, when the world first came to know how they came about. Right? God breathe those words to Moses, and he asked Moses to write them down in his word so that men would be able to know and see and learn and understand his origin. Men may come to know the source of his life. And so as we think about this, we think about how this light came to mankind. Verse 9 of John chapter 1 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. You see, this light is very powerful. It's life-giving. And it's in the person of the second, or in the second person of the Godhead. the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there in the beginning of no beginnings, before he took on human flesh in the fullness of time. Right? Our calendar tells us BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. There was a time when God came in human flesh in order that we may know him. Right? Those who saw him understood who he is, how he was able to still the storm, how he was able to cause the dead to rise again. How marvelous it is that this man was able to give life. He was able to heal all diseases. This was the Son of God. This was the Creator. He is the sustainer of life. And this is he who came. And the Lord is saying to us that we must know him. And so as we meditate upon the Genesis account, we are told how this light came about. God said in verse 3, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The first 24-hour day. 12 hours of night, 12 hours of day. That was the first physical day. The calendar of man began. That was how life, or that was how God began to bring life to this earth. And it's interesting that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God said, created the heaven and the earth. So when he created the vast universe, the earth was the focus. When he created the vast universe, the earth was the focus. So, you know, man is building many telescopes that is revolutionary, that can see to the furthest, uttermost parts of the universe, and yet, so far, no detection of life form. Where is life? Well, life is on earth. Because this was the focus of the Creator when he made the universe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God is saying to us that as he makes this creation, he wants us to know how he loved us. So first he gave light. And that was the first day. And as the earth forms itself, now, from Genesis chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, which we are going to cover with more detail, it tells us that the Lord divided at that time a canopy of water above the earth and water that was under the earth. In other words, the earth was enveloped in the beginning with water before the flood. Right? Before the flood that came many generations later during Noah's time, right? The earth was very different. And so, it also tells us that, you know, it's interesting because we are going to learn and see how, you know, in the beginning, the age of men were in the hundreds of years. Right? Today, the age is 120. Not further. Right? There seemed to be a limit beyond. Well, we're going to learn and find out more. God said, "Let the waters under the earth be gathered," verse 9, "unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And so the seed came first, or the fruit came first? Well, the fruit came first. Right? Our text tells us that God brought forth the grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit, yielding fruit after his kind. God produced, make sure that the earth is filled with food enough for our consumption before God would place man there. So what does it tell us? What does it tell us? That God works in a very orderly manner, and God has our welfare in mind when he created. You know, there are two terms that is used to describe God. God is light in the Bible, and God is love. Two terms to describe God. God is light, and God is love. God is light. What is this light? Well, it is that which gives life to us. God is described as light, life-giving, the source of life, the sustainer of life. And the Lord wants us to know, you know, in eternity, when God created the new heavens and the new earth, the Bible tells us there's no need for light. No lights there. Because God is the light. And as you think about God in his orderly manner of creation, you realize that God cares in a very methodical, detailed way for our well-being. Now, we all think and consider, right, that when is our next meal going to come? How are we going to be taken care of? We seem to be so helpless upon this earth. But you look at the way God created the heavens and the earth, you realize that you have a God who knows your needs even before you know it, even before you were created. He makes sure that your needs are met. He makes sure that you are taken care of, well taken care of. This is the Father in heaven who cares for you. This is the Father in heaven who loves you. This is the Father in heaven whose existence is for you. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, after he died upon the cross and he was resurrected and he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, and after that he was ascended to heaven. What is our Lord busy doing at the right hand of the Father? Do you know? Well, he's there praying for you, that you will not be lost, that you will be taken care of. You have an intercessor, a divine, unfailing intercessor, busy, in the sense, caring for you, making sure that your needs are taken care of. So as we study this creation account, God shows us physical light, and he wants us to learn that spiritual light, which is him. He is the one that is giving you life. Just as light is life-giving to us, right? Without the light, everything would freeze to death or freeze in no time, right? Everything would come to a standstill. But because God gave light, there is life. And so the Lord says to us that we should, by the knowledge of physical light, understand this spiritual light. For the physical world, God created physical light. This light will be the source of life for all physical form. But God also himself is that spiritual light. In him, the Bible tells us, is life. And this life is the light of men. Christ is the spiritual light. And so, as we learn about the physical light, right, God relates us from Genesis 1 to John 1, the spiritual light. In eternity, there's no need for physical light. God himself will be our light. And the Lord wants us to know, God wants us to understand, so that our hearts will be at rest. At rest, knowing that he cares for us, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he will take care of us. Now, do you know, when we talk to the people around us, one of the greatest anxiety, we have many who come and said, I have this anxious anxiety difficulty. I get worried concerning my livelihood. I get worried concerning my lack of faith in God. There is this fear in me all the time that is causing me to be so unwell, so discomforted. Sometimes I take medication. But if you have understood God's care for you, as you study this physical light, you know of the spiritual light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that gives you life. He's the same one that is giving you rest. You see, homelessness, restlessness, is a very frightening reality with life on earth. But when men come to know God, that's when the strain, the weariness, the insecurity, the lack of warmth is changed. So when God created, he was creating a home for us. You know? A home. What is a home? Right? We all have our home. Right? We take time to speak to the contractor how the home is to be renovated. What do you want to put there so that you would have the most comfortable home that you can find on earth for yourself? Your home. Well, our God gives to us a spiritual home. In other words, when we come to know him, when we come to fellowship with him, when we have spiritual life and we are engaging with him in fellowship, that is where we find home for our soul. When we are connected with God, that is when you find home, you find the warmth of home, you find the security of home. When we are connected with our God, we are disconnected with him, we are out of fellowship with him, that's when you find that there is a disjoint in the heart. Fears comes, and you find ourselves quite restless. So you see, when God created, it's really wonderful. Right. From nothing, to something. Right? When he said that everything was without form and void and darkness was upon the deep, what does it really mean? Well, you know, in the words of science, we may say that there was no atomic structure. We all know about electrons, we know about protons, we know about how matter finds its origin and beginning. Without form, no structure. And God began to form the structures. There was nothing at all. Everything was disorganized. But God organized it. You see? So when you have God, God will give you wisdom to organize your home. God will give you wisdom how to find that warmth in your earthly home. God will give you wisdom how to find security in your earthly home. God will give you the wisdom to find warmth, find rest, find peace in your earthly home. And so when we learn about physical light, we learn about how that light genders life. So from physical life to spiritual life, from physical light to spiritual light. And God wants us to learn and know, and God wants us to know the true you. In other words, you're not just that physical body, but you are made in the likeness and image of God, because He breathed unto you His Spirit. So the true you is not just the physical you, but the spirit that is in you, the soul that is in you. That is you. It's contained in your emotion, your personality, your intellect, your appreciation, your everything. And, you know, the true you is from God. It is moral. It is intellectual. It is personality. It is character. So when God imparts life to you, He also imparts to you a moral character. That's the true you. When you have God, when you have His laws with you, that is when life finds its true meaning. And so what is life? Life is the abundance of the soul. It's not just your physical life, but what is in you? The abundance of your soul, the peace and joy that God gives you, that God brings to you. That is life. Are you living that abundance in your life? And God wants you to live that abundance. What is this abundant life that God gives you? Well, the Bible says to you, says to us, that it is peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is true life. When God's light shines upon you, God gives you the true values. God brings to you life, the understanding, the appreciation for what is true life. And so, as you think about light and why light first, light is representative of the source of life. God is light. And so we want to begin with Him, because without Him was darkness, right? John chapter 1, tells us in him was light, and the light was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. But that was the true light, verse 9 says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is the one that gives life to you. You see, your life comes from him. And so, the Lord says to us as we study physical light, he wants us to learn to know the spiritual light, which is God himself. And that through his word, we may be illuminated to know him, God, and the light. Well, the light of his word has power, right? Power to generate life in you. That's why we said, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Because it's able to give you instruction, wisdom for life. Read your Bible. This is light. This is illumination. When you read it with prayer and you read it seriously and you're going to give time and priority to it, this is where life would come to you. No kidding. Never fail. Are you experiencing that abundance of the soul? God wants you to experience that abundance in your soul. And therefore, may the Lord strengthen you, that you may be granted to know him and to be connected with him, that your life will be so warm, so happy, blessed, God's peace, God's joy fill you, surround you, strengthen you. May his word energize you. So as we begin the new year, right, so now it's a lunar new year. Why lunar new year? Because the dates are set according to the movement of the moon, right? Verse 16 of Genesis 1 says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So, the various Asian cultures will look at the moon to set time. Right? It never fails because the moon would move like clockwork. You can set days, years by the moon. Or you can set the years and days by the sun. That's the Roman calendar that we have by the sun. And it will equally bring you accurate setting of time. The light, how it brings order to life, right? Yeah, we thank God for creating order in our life. And that this time that we have is on earth is but short. And so the Lord wants us to use our time wisely, profitably, redeeming our time, sharing the light. We have these new tracts that we have printed. As you go out, it is in English and it is in Mandarin. How to get to heaven? Victoria. And I urge you to take and share it with someone. Right? We have begun sharing. We have already had two who have confessed faith, two young ones who have confessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ over the last 2 days, and one older man who also were given the gospel. Pray the Spirit of God can use you. And you know, our life will be so useless, right? If we do not use the life that God has given us, right? When you are going to eternity, who is the first person that you want to see? You want to meet the Lord, right? But then who else would you want to see? You want to meet the person who shared the gospel with you, right? The one who gave you that light. Share with you that light so that you can be there in heaven. If no one were to do that, well, you won't be there. And what greater and more important work that you can do on earth than to share that good news, to share that light to others? No other, if you think about it. No other thing, as you think about it. When you go to heaven, right? Nothing on this earth you're going to bring with you. Nothing, totally nothing, you know. You're only going to bring your soul. And that's the most precious thing. And what are you doing with the abundance in your own soul? If we won't share a little bit of that abundance in our soul so that it may benefit the souls around us. Isn't it so true? May God be gracious to grant us that love, Calvary's love, the greatest love on earth, Christ's love, when He would be willing to suffer and sacrifice Himself for our progress. So, would you be willing to suffer a little bit for the progress of the people that you love, the people around you? Well, not by our own might, not by our own strength, by the Spirit of God. And therefore, may we be willing to take time to pray and be willing to take time when we are sent to go. And may the Lord help us to be fruitful for His name's sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for Thy grace. Lord, thank Thee for Thy word. When Thou sayest, let there be light, and there was light. We pray that this light, that genders life, may come to illumine the life of many hearts that are still darkened by the bondage of sin. O Lord, we pray for Thy mercy to break the bondage, that light may shine through, and that these who do not know Thee may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and may experience spiritual life. O God, help us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.